ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Colossians chapter 2 this morning. Thank you, sir. Colossians chapter 2. So I titled my, if you want to listen to part one, Three Ways to Relate with God is on the podcast page. Colossians chapter 2, as I get back into my message, where it's still part of my message. If you have a good Bible like mine, it's subtitled, Not Philosophy But Christ. Not philosophy. You have not received Christianity. Is not philosophy. Christianity is about Christ. Christianity is about Christ. Everything centers around him. And he has the guts to lay claim because he won the victory. He paid the price. Not by asking men to contribute money together. No. He paid the price with his own blood. With his own life. He left his glory so that he can bring many sons into glory. He was without sin, but he broke the fangs of sin and wickedness over mankind so that mankind can live the way God designed man to live originally. So it is Christ. He said, but I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you from verse 1. We're reading verse 1 to 10. He said, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, this is Paul writing, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and of Christ, in whom, in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ, not in philosophy, not in humanism. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. So don't leave it at the realm of salvation experience. There is a walk. That walk will lead to being rooted, being built up in him. And then the walk will lead to being established in your faith. As you have been taught, abandoning with thanksgiving. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. According to the traditions of men, according to the basic principle of the world system, and not according to Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are complete in him, who is the head of all, not some, not maybe, is the head. Jesus is the head of all principality and power. Whether it is in whatever part is called Ogbanje, or Kweskwe in another part, or Golimapa in another part, he is the head. In other words, if he says to one, go, they go. If he said to one, sit, they sit. If he says to one, no more, it's no more. He said, you are complete in him. It's not when something happened to you that God is scratching his head. What are we going to do now? How are we going to resolve this now? Even before it happens to you, there is an already made answer. We are complete. He said, in him hid all the treasures and the wisdom of God. I do not receive a faith that I don't know the end from the beginning. I know where I'm going. I know what is in store for me, where I'm going. So whether I live or I die, I know my lot. I'm not waiting until I die before I know my lot. I know my lot as I'm speaking. It's 27, 28 years running. Even if it's not true, that's your cup of tea. I'd rather live this part for the rest of my life and then discover that it's even much more than what I've enjoyed, rather than live anyhow and find out that there is a great treasure ahead of me that I didn't maximize. He's the head. I am complete in him. Even when I experience delay physically, I am complete with him. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So, the apostolic calling, Pastor Shola mentioned it, is upon the church in Nigeria for the deliverance of Africa. I won't go into all the details. You already know them. You see them on social media. But the narrative must change. Christianity is not about using God to accomplish our own purposes. You are running away from witches. That's why you became a Christian. Maybe that's a good place to start, but that's not the reason why Christianity is given. The economic is hard. It's hard. And then you are looking for a place of safety from the refuge of the economic harshness. That's not the only reason you should receive Jesus. So, we are in that season where God is calling people up. Come up hither. There is a greater life. Life is not about killing witches. Life is not about living in good houses. There is a greater life. It's a deeper life. It's a glorious life. And God has made us to be partakers of this life, and we must respond to him, because it's not life, it's not all about us. It's about many millions, billions of people who are created in the image and in the likeness of God. So we must rise up in strength. That is, Nigerian Christians, we must rise up in strength and pave way for Africa. When I say Nigeria's church, he said, out of Zion shall come perfection. Out of the church are the next set of inventors, the next set of innovators, the next set of people who will take the lead in the market spaces. And like Pastor Shola said earlier on, it's as if he peeped into my nose. Whatever measure of greatness that is thrown at us, we will not lose our wonder of God. So last week, we started on this journey by Reverend Matt. And you know, the three areas that he emphasized on also typifies the tabernacle in the wilderness. The outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. And this morning, I just want to talk. The outer court is what he called service. That is where many people began their journey. The tabernacle that was built in the wilderness has only one entrance. And it typifies for us today, John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus is the way. So you enter into that holy place, separated place, through the outer court, through the east gate. And it's only one way. Jesus said, no one can come into the sheepfold except through the door. He said, there are many people who come. He said, but they will be regarded as thieves. When you come into the sheepfold, you come through the way. So Jesus is the way. And in the outer court, court, that's where transaction hold. That's where people bring their rams, bring everything. So it also typifies our salvation experience. We come into the fold of God. We come just like we are sometimes. We come broken. We come with issues in our heart. We come with things we want God to resolve in our heart. But that is not where we should stop. Otherwise, if you stop, like the case of many believers, you begin to experience burnout because in the outer court, it is crowded. We begin to step on each other. We begin to take offense at each other. And what God expects is that come up into the holy place, which typify that family experience in God. Please let me nudge someone this morning in case your neighbor is sleeping. I can see some people preaching. I don't know. Am I a very bad preacher that, well, in the Bible, Paul preached one day, and one guy fell from the story building. Well, hey, if you fall from anywhere, I will raise you up this morning. Praise God. Please let me nudge someone this morning. God expects us to experience his family. So come up. Come up to a greater level of experience with God. So, service represents the outer court. And you have, when people serve and serve, you have these excuses that we all give because what we are really looking for is that there must be something deeper, something tangible. It's like a typical person who comes to God and is trusting for prosperity. So when the money comes, you begin to ask that question. If you really have the desire in your heart, is this all about what Christianity have to offer? And then you meet some people who don't even embrace Christianity. Yes, they are very rich. So there is a vacuum. Even though you have come, but there is still a vacuum. God expects us to take it higher into the holy place. And that's the place of the family. That's the place of strength. That's the place where iron sharpens iron. When iron sharpens iron, there is friction. But the love of God helps us to overcome. So in the outer court, there is shame. The love of God helps us to overcome shame in communities. Doesn't matter what people say about the church of Jesus. The church of Jesus is built on a family structure. How do I mean? What do I mean? Open your Bibles, please, quickly with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. God runs family. God doesn't run organization. He runs family. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 19. We read all through to 22. It's a family. He said, now therefore, you are no longer strangers. So you move from the outer court into the holy place. You into the family of God. You are no longer strangers. People in the Old Testament, even at the outer court, they collect their rams and they ask them to go. They ran for the atonement of Israel. Because at the end of the day, when sacrifices are made, it's only one ram that is led into the wilderness. You can't stay there. You can't stay at that level where people are praying for you all the time. After God, you can't stay at that level where you are submitting prayer requests every time. So, you are no longer strangers. No longer foreigners. But fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household. He said, it doesn't say member of a church. There's a difference between the word church and the word household. Household speaks of what? A family. This is Etu. When you see his wife, you see his kids, you see people live in his house, they are members of his what? Household. So, God runs family. He said, I'm a member of the household of God. Verse 20 and 21. He said, we have been built on the foundation of the what? Apostles and the prophets, which typify the word of God, and Jesus Christ himself being what? Verse 21, in whom the whole family, because it's a body thing, the whole building is being, you know, that is a process, the washing of the world by the world. That's why you need to belong to the family. You will never understand how much fruit of the Spirit is being developed in you until your patience is put to test. You can say, I know the nine fruit of the Spirit, patience, love, and get married first, and we'll see whether you know. So, the whole building is being fitted together, grows into what? So we become the habitation of God as members of this family. The Holy Spirit is given in our heart as a seal of our redemption. The blood has been shed, but the Holy Spirit now lives in us. It's like a seal of our redemption. Another scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, we read from verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, we read from verse 14. It said, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. From whom? What? From whom? The whole what? Where? Can you see it? Heaven. If you read that relative to Hebrews, it said, when we gather, we have gathered among many witnesses, because there is a family. There is the Old Testament patriarch, where there is a New Testament patriarch. There is a host of innumerable company of angels. We are gathered around the spirit of just men made perfect. Because why? The whole family in heaven and heart is named and is linked to our progenitor, which is the God, the Father. The reason why I'm preaching this second message, because it's also one of, I'll get into it, I pray I will get into it, the fact that, hey, whatever people say against the church, they are saying it about you. It's the family. It's an indictment on all of us. So mind what you say about your family. And most of the things that are said are not true. Some are true, some are not true. So, but still mind what you say. It's just like somebody says, a church is not perfect. Then the moment you enter into that church as a perfect person, you are corrupted. If you understand what the word says, it said, your brethren, your fellow brothers and sisters, we are all being washed by the washing of the water, by the word. That's how our perfection comes. Praise God. He said, the Father will do something to make good his family. He will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you will be rooted and grounded in love. That is how this family is built on love. And then we will be able to comprehend with other family members what is the width, what is the length, what is the depth and the height. And that's where teachings comes in. And when we can comprehend this, we all know the love of Christ which passes humanity, which passes eros, which passes filio. We come to the realm of agape. We are filled with the fullness of God. At all level, you know, it's a continual walk. That's what we call spiritual growth. So everybody, you know where you are as we speak this morning. God runs a family based on solid kingdom culture. Love is that culture. And then he mentioned friendship, which typifies the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies. And there's only one person who entered that place in the Old Testament, the high priest. A revelation says about us today, we've been made, we are washed, and we've also been made kings. And what? Priests. King, what is the sacrifice today? Hebrews talk about it, the praise of our lips. The praise of our lips. So, the Holy of Holies is the realm of friendship. That's where you encounter unending mercy, unending grace. That's where accusations don't stand against you and I anymore. That's where we cultivate a thriving relationship. That's where nothing happens in your family, in your nation, in your community. God can share that with you. And sometimes when he shares, it's of you to be able to stand in gap if there is need to stand in gap. In Genesis chapter 18, you can go back home and read that. The Bible talks about Abraham when God was about to visit Sodom. Genesis 18 verses 16 to 18 in particular. It was talking about Abraham was interceding for that land. Not because of anything. I mean, it was because of his cousin. But beyond his cousin, he even wanted the whole city to get saved. So, he said, if you find this number of people, will you still destroy the whole city? Abraham was sure that Lot is going to be saved. So that's not any issue. But he was standing in gap. So let me put it this way. Service is Jesus being the way. Family, the holy place. Jesus being the truth. We feast on the truth. That's what keeps us in the family. You drop off. You and I will drop off our tradition because the word of God can be nullified by our tradition. We drop off our mindset of inadequacies. So we feast on the truth. So Jesus becoming our truth. And then friendship, Jesus becoming the life that we live. So he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. So you access through the gate, the way of salvation. But you keep on in your walk with him by just identifying with his family. You can't grow in isolation. So when people say, I don't need a church to grow today, you are about to backslide. You can't grow. A tree doesn't make a forest. No matter how massive the tree becomes. That the tree is still vulnerable. Wind will blow. Storms will arise. But hey, what makes a forest is that knitted, being knitted together. So it can be thick, it can be thin forest, but it's being knitted together. So when the day of adversity hits, there is somebody who serves in the support system of that family. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So, we can relate to God in those three ways, as our way, our truth, and our life. Which many people, that's what he said last week Sunday, many people don't pursue it. Many people are just contented to being saved. Oh, I'm going to heaven. That's it. No, you can't stay there. There is a work, there is an assignment for every one of us. And this morning, I want to throw the challenge as I tie up this message. 2 Corinthians 13, 5, in the Living Bible, TLB says, check up on yourself. Are you really Christian? Do you pass the test? Do you feel Christ's presence and power more and more within you every day? So you have to put yourself in that litmus test. Do you feel his presence and power more and more? Or the more you grow in this Christianity, the emptier you have become. You know, sometimes you hear that people who profess Christianity have gone to embrace another. As I said to a lot of people, they haven't met Christ. You can't meet Christ and go to an herbalist anymore. No, there is no partnership between darkness and light. between Christ and Belial. You can't meet Christ. If you really, really meet Christ in genuineness of your heart, he puts you within the boundary of his love. God is not a taskmaster. Praise God. So, is it, can you feel his power more and more within you? Or are you just pretending to be Christians when actually you aren't at all? I can't answer for you. You have to answer for yourself. There is a current age mindset, the current age, which I want to talk about. Because what we have also seen, we compare notes. I'm in school now. So there are researches all over the world. There is a current age mindset that has militated against the church. Many people, I don't know if it happens to anyone here, if it happens, you are hearing this today so that you can retrace yourself. Many people are beginning to get tired of their church family.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,